Okay, well, thank you for allowing me to be here and allowing us to speak on this subject. A little bit of background on why we began this work. Started probably 2 or 3 years ago. We had some questions from the industry about is it possible to detect whether something's first been mercerized and then liquid ammonia treated? And we started looking into the traditional technique, X-ray diffraction, and we saw that we really could not tell much difference between ammonia treated and then something that had been mercerized and ammonia treated. So that led us down a long path, and I'll get into a little of that history as we go along through the presentation. So with the help of Penn State, they have begun looking at this some frequency generation technology. So I'll go through the first part here, and then Cobby will follow up, and then we may have a little time for questions. I'm going to try to move kind of quickly here because there's a lot of material. So review of the treatments for the cotton fabrics. These processes are not exactly new. With the liquid ammonia treatment, we did throw a new twist into that, as I'll describe, but these are pretty traditional processes. Let's see, for this study, we chose to use bleached cotton fabric. Bleaching, of course, removes the impurities, but usually bleaching or scouring and bleaching involves small amounts of alkali, so there is not enough alkali present to alter the cotton crystalline structure. So normally the cellulose remains as cellulose 1 after the bleaching process. Commonly, cotton woven fabrics are mercerized, and that's done after bleaching. So when I say mercerizing, take that as bleached, then mercerized. Normally, mercerizing is done with 18 to 25% of sodium hydroxide or caustic soda. Mercerizing has been around since the days of Mercer, who developed the process. So probably close to 100 years, or maybe more, since it's developed. In this cellulose, the crystalline structure is converted to cellulose 2. Liquid ammonia treatment is not exactly new either. It is more recent, but it's been well known you can use different types of alkali to treat cellulose or cotton cellulose and convert it to cellulose 3 with this liquid ammonia treatment. So we have the three different processes that we are comparing here. They yield cellulose 1, 2, or 3. This is a very somewhat simplified diagram, although it's a little bit complex, in that it's showing the conversion of cotton to cellulose 3, but as you saw by the red arrows, it goes through, as it's being treated with liquid ammonia, it goes through a conversion to ammonia cellulose. By the removal of ammonia plus heat, you can convert it to LA cotton. And actually, I'll show it here. So, but however, there is a possibility that the ammonia could be removed and you could go back to the non-crystalline form of cellulose. The important thing here to know is that the manufacturing equipment is designed in such a way to try to convert as much cellulose as possible to cellulose 3, but in a real world, you get partial conversion. Just here for the record, it shows about before and after you get about 40% of non-crystalline, and it shows some of these figures about the transition to cellulose 1 to 3. It's not shown on the slide, but just for reference, we just showed that type 2 cellulose is from mercerized cotton using strong caustic soda or ammonium hydroxide. I think this slide is much more valuable in just showing what happens to the cellulose structure or the cotton. From more of a macroscopic standpoint, bleached cotton, as you can see, has a very convoluted structure. In the presence of water, however, it will swell, so some of these striations you see on the bleached cotton will go away. On the bottom left, you see that the if you look at the cross section, you see the bleached cotton has a rather collapsed structure, and you cannot see much development of the lumen or the center core of the cotton. Mercerized cotton has some swelling, but you can also see it is not very well, still not very well rounded as compared to the LA or liquid ammonia cotton. Liquid ammonia cotton has very good development and swelling, and you can see the lumen almost disappears in that because of all the cellulose swelling there. So what happens to the cotton treated with these? What properties do we get? So this slide shows, if you look at the top there, B for bleached and black, A for ammonia only, M for mercerized, MA, which is mercerized and then ammonia. This is from years of practical experience, and I really have our Osaka office to thank for this. One of our colleagues there had put together some of these slides for us. Luster, for example, with bleached ammonia, and you can imagine, because it's not very well swollen, as you saw from the last slide, has very poor luster, and then with mercerized, you get excellent shine with the mercerized cotton. With the and then you can see the ammonia really does not develop much luster, but with mercerized and then ammonia, you do get some luster. I need to stop at this point to mention that you don't see something on here. You see MA, but you don't see AM. Well, by our experience, we also know it's possible to, by looking at the properties of the fabric, you can get mercerized and then ammonia treat, and you get some of both properties in the fabric. However, if you were to ammonia treat and mercerize, it all converts back to cellulose 2. There's virtually no cellulose 3. So if you want combined properties, you must do it in that order, which is to mercerize and then ammonia treat. The handle of the fabric, as you can see, mercerized is rather harsh. Bleached and ammonia-treated are softer. That's why we love ammonia-treated fabrics. In the industry, the ammonia treatment is done for wrinkle-resistant shirting. You get better drape, you get better handle, supple properties. And then it shows after washing, the ammonia still stays soft. Fuzzing after repeated laundering, we do see the ammonia-treated fabric in some cases, and this depends on the quality of the, you know, fiber length and quality of the cotton used, but it can develop some fuzziness after repeated laundering, where mercerized cotton stays more clean or less fuzzy. The bleached fabric is the weakest of them, and then mercerized ammonia is strongest. And you'll see some slides actually that show the strength. Unfortunately, this is kind of showing a combined strength thing, kind of combining tensile and tear. I'll show you what the individual numbers do. Shrinkage, ammonia is great because it is done with no water. So there's no water to swell it during the process and allows it to de-stress the fibers and reduces the shrinkage, where mercerizing is carried out in the presence of quite a bit of water. If you look at the durable press, and you see to the far right there, the wrinkle-free or DP rate, durable press rate, goes from poor, which is, this is a visual scale, 1 to 5, poor being 1, 5 being excellent. So the ammonia treatment gives 2 rating, which is good, but really you must apply a cross-linking treatment, a resin, to get it up to a 3.5 or better. Dyeability, this is another reason fabrics are mercerized and then ammonia treated. If you ammonia treat alone, it does nothing for the dyeability of the fabric. So, you know, in the cotton industry, we try to save money by a certain process. When you mercerize, it gives more color yield to the cotton fiber. If you ammonia treat only, you don't get an increase in color yield. So by mercerizing and ammonia treating, you see some increase in color yield. The first talks about dyeability with reactive dyes, and then the second mentions vat dyes. And with the vat dyes, you get more color yield than you do with the reactive dyes, but still, by doing the combination treatment, you get the best of both worlds. So just a comment about liquid ammonia treatment machinery. Several companies over the years have developed equipment for liquid ammonia treatment. Recently, we became aware that Loffer in Italy had developed a new process called Permafex. It's still done pretty much the traditional way. It's dipped in ammonia, and then the ammonia is evaporated, and then there's usually a steaming process or something at the end to remove that last bit. There's a lot of equipment in place to recover the ammonia, recondense and reuse it so none goes to the environment. With the Permafex process, one of the unique things is instead of using old types of neoprene flaps or seals, they use dynamic seals that allow virtually no ammonia to escape. I was there in Italy at their facility last January, February of 2012, when we ran these treatments, and we could smell no ammonia during the process while we ran these fabrics. Permafex also, just like liquid ammonia, offers the improved hand, the crease recovery, dimensional stability or shrinkage, abrasion resistance, color, solidity, and that's really because of the rounded cross section that you saw with ammonia treatment, but also the wash and wear. Here's a picture, courtesy of Loffer, of the Permafex range. You can see here, first it goes through a pre-drying step to remove the residual moisture from the cotton fabric, because if you have water in the fabric and it goes into liquid ammonia, you'll form ammonium hydroxide. That's a bad thing. You want the ammonia to stay as liquid ammonia, or NH3, and usually that ammonia is at minus 38 C. So after you've gone through a heating process at first to remove the water, then you have to go across some cooling cans to cool the fabric, because you're going right from that stage into a chamber at minus 38 C, so you don't want the ammonia boiling when the fabric hits it. Then one chamber is used to dip it, one's to evacuate, and then one's to remove it further, and all this is used to recover. So for these trials at Loffer, and we've mentioned these before, we had the cotton twill. It's just like a kind of heavyweight mock cotton twill that's used for men's slacks. So the bleached fabric, it was actually de-sized, scoured, and bleached. We did it on a jig at Cotton Incorporated because it was hard to get the bleached-only fabric from a mill. The mill goes right to the mercerizer after bleaching, so as you see on the mercerized fabric, they supplied us that version of the fabric. Then we took these two fabrics to Loffer. We actually took some other fabrics, but for simplicity, we focused on these twill fabrics for this presentation. And so they took part of the fabric that was bleached, liquid ammonia treated. We kept some bleached only, same for the mercerized fabric. We then took a portion of these fabrics and treated them with a wrinkle-resistant finish, because we really don't see the wrinkle-free effect unless we apply the wrinkle-resist finish. In this case, we used one of the newer processes, a premium low-temperature cure process from Clariant. I won't get into all that. Just say it was sufficiently cross-linked to give good durable price properties. And then sampled these fabrics were taken for crystallinity testing, and Cobby will talk about that in a couple minutes. I'm going to run through these slides. Just to show you, and we haven't fully interpreted why things happen the way they do, but the smoothness or wash and wear with no finish, we did see an improvement with the liquid ammonia only on the bleached fabric. On the mercerized, it was a little less. With a wrinkle-resistant finish, The highest two bars are actually the ones without liquid ammonia, but when you see what happened to the tear strength and abrasion resistance, you realize that if we had this to do over, we'd have been a little more aggressive with the resin treatment on the last two fabrics, because we had so much more strength and abrasion to play with as compared to those first two on the left. Wrinkle recovery, I call this dry wrinkle recovery just to make it simple. The test on the previous slide smoothness rating, that's where you do wash and wear. You wash it, you tumble dry it, you hang it up, and you look for wrinkles or rate it. This other test, wrinkle recovery, you take a sample, you clamp it, and you twist it, and then you put a weight on it. It's really a torture test for cotton fabrics. And then when you release the weight, you look at it and rate the amount of wrinkling. As you can see here, with no chemical finish, again, the liquid ammonia recovers pretty well in this test, but still is about a 3, actually, which is pretty good. With the mercerized, we see less effect. However, with the resin treatment, everything just kind of goes crazy here. And, you know, remember, it's not just resin. It's resin softener, but we still, with the cross-linking, it seems to not enhance the dry wrinkle recovery, even though the wash and wear ratings were much better. Tensile strength, with the liquid ammonia, we do see some reduction in tensile, but I must say, if we had applied a softener only to these fabrics, we'd see this same kind of effect. Remember, the liquid ammonia treatment is softer. So the two with liquid ammonia are lower, but keep in mind, on a cotton twill fabric, our target is around 50 or 60 pounds of tensile strength. So even though we're around 90 pounds with liquid ammonia, that's still pretty, it's really good. So yes, there is some loss of tensile, but when you see the next couple of slides, you'll say, well, should we worry about this? Now watch this slide when we put the resin treatment. Actually, it's a little better when you do the liquid ammonia and do the resin treatment. Don't ask me why these graphs tend to flip-flop, but they do. But we're right there at 60 pounds tensile strength with the ammonia treatment. If we don't do the ammonia treatment, it's actually a little bit lower. Tear strength is usually the issue with these kind of fabrics, however. A lot of times we're struggling to get a 3-pound tensile, and you can see with the bleached only and bleached mercerized, we are just above 3 pounds tensile. I mean, tear strength. Look what happens with liquid ammonia. It goes more than double. When we put the resin treatment on, it's still pretty high. Flex abrasion is where we rub the fabric against the bar until it breaks, so it's in number of cycles. So we see an increase in flex abrasion with the liquid ammonia. This relates to the life of the fabric, and like if you were to rub your elbows or when you launder it, your cuffs abrade, things like that. This is really weird. With the resin treatment, it actually got better. And, I mean, this is really astounding if you look one here with no finish against the other, and we can't explain that either at this point, but it happens. So, in summary, what I just said, the smoothness with a finish, well, liquid ammonia is better without a finish. With a finish, didn't see much improvement. The wrinkle recovery, no finish, liquid ammonia is better. And then with the finish, we didn't see much. Tensile, we saw some reduction in liquid ammonia with no finish, but with finish, it was slightly higher. The big two things here we see a benefit on were the tear strength and flex abrasion, which are often common problems with cotton twill fabrics, especially treated with a resin. With that, I'm going to hand it over to Cobby to discuss the SFG analysis.
Thanks, Ken. I'm going to go here a little quickly. So more than about 50 years, XRD has been used to analyze the cellulose structure. And based on the peak positions, the diffractograms can be differentiated into 3 different polymorphs. So each different allomorph has their own diffraction peaks, as you can see. And based on these peak positions and peak intensity, one can easily differentiate between allomorphs. However, we want to understand how much of these allomorphs can be detected in a mixture sample where we have both 1, 2, and 3 celluloses. So in order to do that, recently we have found that some frequency generation spectroscopy, or SFG, can selectively detect cellulose or crystalline cellulose without detecting any signal from hemicellulose, lignin, or amorphous cellulose. In SFG, IR and visible beam overlap on a sample to create a SFG photon, which is a sum of the frequency of input frequencies. But this only happens in certain condition. The sample has to be both iron and Raman active, and also there has to be a certain ordering within the sample to create a SFG photon. In this way, we can actually study the structure that meets these selection rules. So what that means is to generate SFG signals, these vibration modes seen here has to have a knit polar ordering facing only one direction, and they also have to lack the inversion symmetry so that it cannot cancel each other. This can be found in crystalline cellulose, inherently in interfaces, and some piezoelectric crystals. If you have inverted symmetry, though, these will all get canceled and no SFG. If you have a random orientation, there is no SFG signal at all either. So with that in mind, we want to know what particular group of cellulose can generate the SFG signal. Shown here is a monomer unit of cellulose, which is a 1,4 beta glucose molecule. If you can look at these red and green blobs, these are the CH2 groups shown here in red and, sorry, green, and OH bonding in red spectrum, in red blob. If you take the IR, SFG, and Raman spectra of cellulose, you get a strong signal in the CH2 region and a strong signal at OH region because SFG can only detect these CH2 groups and the OH bonding, which have net ordering. However, if you look at these CH groups, these will get canceled with these CH2 of this unit, and these two CH will get canceled with these two CH. So that's why we don't get any signal, a broad signal, like how we get in IR and Raman. So these are the peak positions where you get a strong signal from SFG in SFG. So in order to understand cellulose allomorphs in a mixture where we have all three different types of celluloses, each particular allomorph can have its distinct SFG spectra. As you can see, there's a small shift in CH2 wave number when you mercerize and when you treat with ammonia. And also there's a distinct peak in OH region. So in order to get the quantitative information from a mixture, we actually deconvolute these peaks and use these peak positions and ratios in order to extract out the quantitative information. So here, like Ken explained, we actually used tuile cotton that had been treated with bleaching agent, and after that, mercerized liquid ammonia treated and mercerized plus ammonia. When you look at a bleached sample, a bleached cotton tuile, there is no change in crystal structure. As you can see, typical cellulose 1 beta peaks in XRD and in SFG are seen here. However, if you actually treat that with liquid ammonia, you see a strong type 3 peak, which is, this is the peak position of type 3, as I showed you in the first slide. But if you look at the SFG part here, these green peaks are the signature peaks for type 3. However, they don't match the exact ratio of the reference type 3. By the way, these reference type 3 are type 3 from abyssal, which is 100% cellulose. So in order to know what's happening here, we think that the structural ordering in ammonia-treated sample has been changed. And also, if you see the y-axis here, this has been expanded by 6 times. So the SFG intensity has decreased by about 80%. This doesn't really mean that the crystalline amount or crystallinity has decreased by 80%. That's why that is. I'll probably tell you later after a couple of slides. So if you treat the bleached sample again with a mercerizing agent such as sodium hydroxide, you see here a peak at 2964 growing, which is a signature peak for type 2. However, it looks like the industrial treatment of mercerization is not that strong, so that's why we don't get enough type 2 signal here. Also, there is no significant change in SFG intensity, which means that there is no particular change in crystallinity as well. However, this is an important slide here I want to focus. SFG can be more sensitive than XRD, especially in the mixture. So if you deconvolute these peaks in XRD, it's really, really hard to detect type 2 here. And if you look at the SFG spectrum here, these particular 2964 peak is a mixture of type 2 and type 3. And using the ratio of the reference type 3, we can deconvolute this peak into type 2 and type 3. So that way we can separate type 1, type 2, and type 3 in a mixture. Also, the SFG intensity has decreased about 80%. But in SFG, the decrease in SFG intensity does not relate linearly with the crystalline amount. Previously, we did a study with cellulose 1 beta in a lignocellulose. As you can see, the SFG intensity varies non-linearly with the amount of crystalline cellulose shown here. With a small increase in SFG intensity, there can be a large change in crystalline amount. Also, in this region, with a big decrease in SFG intensity, there can be a very small amount of very small decrease in crystalline amount. So this trend of SFG intensity versus crystalline amount, and by constructing this calibration curve, we can actually calculate the amount of cellulose 1 beta. Shown here is just the percentages of SFG peak area from the processed cottons. But again, these are just the percentages of SFG peak. This cannot directly correlate with the amount. To do that, we need to again make a standard curve, calibration curve, to find out the amount. Comparing this with XRD, XRD calculation, crystallinity calculation can be misleading because in XRD, people have been using about three different methods to calculate crystallinity. Even with the 100% cellulose amount, you get three different results in crystallinity. And with a small decrease in crystallinity index, there might be a huge change in amount. So it's hard to tell, and there should be a cohesive process or cohesive coherent method that needs to be developed to calculate the crystallinity through XRD. And with that, I just would like to show you the conclusions that we can detect type 2 in a mixture by SFG. And also, the type 2 and type 3 structure might be different in cotton compared that with Avisal because of different ratios. After construction of standard calibration curve, we can actually calculate the amount of allomorphs through SFG. At the same time, XRD crystallinity can be a little misleading. And SFG can be a powerful technique that can be used in the textile industry based on these results. Our future plans are to create one more set of moisturized liquid ammonia treated and mixtures, and possibly use the reference samples from the cotton, but not from Avisal, to make the calibration curve. And that way we can quantify how much allomorph we have in a mixture. And Ken will probably also use his new instrument.
Yeah, just since we're out of time, we'll continue to work with Laufer to optimize these treatments. They're going to have a new NIP machine available soon, which thrills us and a lot of people in the industry because these have generally been used only on wovens. So with that, we thank you.
Thank you.